It's that time. It's a Thursday. We get our view from the north. Yeah, he's made his way back from the Windy City. He's been covering the Seahawks, the Ducks, and more for NBC Sports Northwest. He's talking Ducks on TV. Check out the NBC Sports Northwest website for the posting. Follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Always look forward to chatting up our friend Aaron Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Good. So, raw reaction. After his Raiders lost to the Broncos, didn't get near the passer. Yesterday, John Gruden says, you know, it's really hard to find a great pass rusher. The guy who just traded Lawrence Taylor. Is he just trolling us, or has he completely lost his mind?
Did he say that?
Yeah. It's hard to get a pass rusher.
I heard him say that the pass rush wasn't good. I didn't hear him say that it's hard to find one. He really said that?
He said it's hard to find a great pass rusher.
Okay, so have you heard I don't know if it's been reported or it's just rumored. It might be rumored. We'll go with rumored. It's radio, what the hell. That apparently that the reason why they made the trade was not necessarily Gruden. It's because Davis, the owner, didn't feel like they could afford to pay Gruden and pay Khalil Mack a guaranteed 90. They're having some money issues.
Wow. Let me tell you something. They just came out with the franchise values today. Dallas is worth $5 billion, and they got $14.5 billion of revenue to split up. If you're an NFL owner and you're having financial issues, you're an idiot at this point.
Well?
Yeah, I guess with that haircut, it's kind of a giveaway with Mark Davis.
I don't care what their problem was. I'm happy that the Bears took Khalil Mack off of their hands.
Yeah, a willing taker. I mentioned you were at Soldier. I want to talk about what you wrote Tuesday. So Seattle had a tight loss at Denver. This one, ended up 7 points, but they scored late. So while 0-2 is far from done, it kind of reminds me of that end scene in Back to the Future where Marty McFly and his siblings are kind of fading. What gives you reason? what gives you reason that this could be righted?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be. I'm looking at it like, you know, they did lose two close games. I consider the Monday night game close. I mean, the pick six kind of broke it open a little bit, but it was still a pretty close game. If you have the ball down one position in the fourth quarter, it's a close game, as far as I'm concerned. They lost two close games on the road, right? So, if you know, we all know this isn't, you know, the great teams of the past. So, realistically, if you are a middle-of-the-pack team, you know, you can realistically expect to go 1-1 on the road in two games like that. And they went 0-2. So, you're one game off of a realistic pace as far as I'm concerned. So, you're coming home against Dallas and you have Arizona next. They could very easily be 2-2. So, that's why I'm not writing them off like some people. I think some fans who were so used to seeing them be so good that the thought of them being 0-2 is just like, oh, my God, we're just horrible. But I think we have to wait because also they were missing five starters in this past game, three of them major impact starters in Wright, Wagner, and Doug Baldwin. Like, and so this team's not good enough to withstand losing that much talent. It just isn't. Actually, when you think about it, they're actually missing six starters because Ed Dixon would be starting. So that's a lot when you look at this team. So they're going to get UJ Fluker back at guard this week. KJ Wright and Wagner. Flowers are all likely to return, according to Carroll. I think Wright is the most iffy of the four. And then it's unlikely that Baldwin's going to play this week. But they should be better on defense this week if they get – that's just getting Wagner back and make you better. So if they beat Dallas, they're going to win at Arizona. You're 2-2, you're back in it. So, you know, let's wait. Now, if they lose this week, it's over.
All right, I'm willing to sell them out as quickly as anybody. We continue with Aaron Fentress of NBC Sports Northwest. Well, also realistic, it's not like anybody came into the season not aware of certain things. You know, the offensive line, I feel like they've been in flux since Russell Okung left, the running game since Lynch left. it looks like Russell Wilson went from running for his life to getting killed. I mean, what's he got, sacked six times both games? I mean,
yeah.
those issues are pretty darn concerning.
Yeah, you know, and I know there's a spin being put on it that, oh, Wilson held the ball too long against Chicago and he, you know, scrambled too much against Denver, and that resulted in some sacks. And that's true. So let's say that resulted in five sacks. They still got sacked seven times. That's still not enough. And, you know, the big thing is they're not running the football. Now, Pete Carroll said yesterday when I was up in Renton, he said that, you know, he talked about how sometimes he's told Brian Schottenheimer, hey, let's take some shots here, let's do some things, and maybe he was being impatient and not instead saying, let's make sure we commit to the run or what have you. And that's all well and good, but they're just not running the ball that well when they're running it anyway. Although I will say that Chris Carson is averaging 5.8 yards per carry, so you could make the argument that they should be feeding him more. But there's a variety of reasons why the running game isn't working out, but at the end of the day, they're 29th in rushing, and they're last in protecting quarterback in terms of sacks allowed. So when you come into the season with your concerns about the offensive line, they are living up to it. Whatever other peripheral things are going on, the bottom line is that the two things you worried about most with this team are coming to fruition, and that's not a good sign.
No. I loved what you posted on Twitter earlier. You know, yay, the NFL is tonight, and then the dog with the frowny face, that it's Jets and Browns. But, you know, it's amazing. You know, the last time Cleveland won, there was a different administration in the White House. But I always like to say this. When failure meets failure, it actually – am I off here? Aren't the chances good we'll get some at least good entertainment, even if it's like the Keystone Cops?
Yeah, because neither team is fully capable of just running away from the other team, unless one – I mean – unless one just plays lousy, and they're both lousy, so maybe that could happen, I guess. But which we saw with the Detroit in the Jets game. But, no, I mean, you would expect that, okay, neither team is that great offensively, so it's really difficult to run away from unless you force a bunch of turnovers. So, you know, we might get a very ugly game that in the fourth quarter is actually exciting because it'll be close and someone will have the ball with a chance to win. And I'm pulling for Cleveland, man. You know, they've played really well. They are what, two plays away from being 2-0. You know, I mean, yep. what they did at New Orleans was impressive. Pittsburgh's not a bad team. They tied them. No, they're right there, man. I think they're going to win tonight. I really do. I'm pulling for them.
I'm telling you, having been there, I texted you earlier in 1980 in December. I was in the stands when they were handing out paper bags to Jets fans because they lost to the 0-14 Saints, known as the Aints. This is going to be the most Jets thing ever. It's going to be beautiful. Anyway, talk with Aaron Fentress of NBC Sports Northwest. So today you posted a story about the Ducks. And once upon a time, if Oregon played an FCS team or a lesser mid-major, they'd run for like 400 yards and average like 9 yards a carry. They were under 3 yards last week per carry. So you wrote about what do you make of those numbers against, you know, not only San Jose State, but, you know, these lesser opponents?
Yeah, so that performance against San Jose State, what was 134?
Yeah,
rushing,
yep.
That was the worst since the Boise State debacle in 2009, right? And then prior to that, you have to go back to 2006 to find a season in which they averaged fewer yards per game than they're averaging right now, which is 214. I think that year was 188. But that year, of course, included conference play. The big deal I made about what they're doing right now at 214 is that that's come against three mid-majors and FCS programs, with PSU being the FCS. And if you go back to 2010, that they're 14-0 in those games, not counting this year, and their average rushing per game in those games was 354 at about a 7-yard average. Whereas right now, through three games, they're at about 214 per game at like a 5 average or something like that. And so, you know, what does it mean? Well, it means that they're not as dominant against weaker teams as they have been during this great, glorious run that they've had. And so, you know, even as recently as just, you know, last year, I think they averaged, they just destroyed someone in the rush. I can't remember what it was, but they were averaging like 300 plus. So why is this happening? Like, what's going on? Is it the fact they don't have a legitimate number one running back? Is the offensive line not getting it done? Are they not adjusting to crystal balls? You know, so-called new, you know, methodology of running the football. I'm not positive as to what is going on, but with Stanford coming up, a team that's giving up less than 8 points per game, 104 yards rushing, who we have seen in the past just demoralize national championship caliber teams led by Marcus Mariota, it's kind of scary for a Ducks fan. Like, how are they going to run on these guys? If they can barely get it done against San Jose State on the ground and only rush for just over 200 against Bowling Green, what are they going to get against Stanford? Like 80?
Right.
It just doesn't fit well. And they say, okay, well, we got Justin Herbert. Well, you had Mariota in 12 and 13. And when Stanford, disrupted the run game, Mariota couldn't carry you. And also, they're physical in the secondary. They're going to get after these Ducks receivers. Some of them were kind of on the small side. Not necessarily, they don't strike me as very physical. These guys are going to be physical and in their face and disrupt the timing. And if you slow down the running attack, you can get more pressure on Herbert. He's got to wait for Ross to develop because you're third and long, and then he's a sitting duck back there. It's just this on all signs to me right now point to this being a loss, which shouldn't be a shock because I think we still know Oregon's still rebuilding. But I think the red flag is that running game. Why isn't it dominant? If they made all these changes in the Bama way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and everyone's all excited about, oh, we're going to be tougher, why are you not rushing for 350 a game against the three worst teams you've ever played in non-conference, at least in the last 15, 20 years?
Yeah, by the way, I looked it up while we were talking. Southern Utah last year, 350. Wyoming, 310. So, yeah.
There you go.
That was just a year ago. All right, and more importantly, as we close, have you made a decision? Are you going to make your season debut at Autzen? Are you just going to hang back for the trip to Seattle Sunday? Or are you going to do the proverbial double dip, Eugene, then CenturyLink?
I'm trying to do the double dip, but my digital GM said he didn't put me down for this game. I thought he did. I think he thought that he wasn't supposed to because it was a back-to-back with the Seahawks on Sunday. But I'm like, well, if I'm going to go to a game, it'll be this one. I'd rather go to this and then go to the Dallas Seahawks game on Sunday than come down for, ASU or whatever, and just because the Seahawks are off that weekend. So he's trying to scramble to get me credentials. So I'm like, I don't think the press box is going to be packed. I'm pretty sure they can find one for me. But we'll see. I guess my fate is in his hands in the next 24 hours, so.
All right. Well, let me know if you need me to make a call or anything, because, when it comes to influence in this town, I'm the guy. All right, folks, he's Aaron Fentress on Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress, doing his thing for NBC Sports Northwest. Well, either way, travel safe. I hope I get to see you Saturday, and always appreciate your time, AF.
All right, man. Talk later.
Take it easy.